To the Donna and Marley show right here on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. All right, remember we had the story about Daniel Day-Lewis retiring from acting?
Yes.
After this next movie?
Yeah.
We know what he's doing, and it is rather surprising.
Donna, you and I are going to be walking down the streets wearing Daniel Day-Lewis frocks.
DDL, baby.
We're wearing DDL. We're not wearing DVF. We're wearing DDL.
He wants to be a dressmaker.
I'm obsessed.
I'm obsessed, too.
I'm so obsessed. This is the best thing that's ever happened.
I know.
Seriously, this is my favorite story of the day. I'm so obsessed with him.
It's like, okay, so we know that he was a cobbler. He went away for a little while to work with an Italian shoemaker.
He did, Donna, in the 90s. He took a five-year break to work as a cobbler in a fancy Italian shoe factory.
He's a really interesting cat.
He really is.
I mean, like, what does he just want to go back in time?
I want
to be a candle maker.
I would like to be a clocksmith.
You will be a fancy woman.
I don't even think that's a thing.
Which means prostitute.
Oh, I will be a lady of the night.
You'll be a chambermaid.
This is so fascinating.
I love this. I think it almost has to do with his approach of being a method actor, where
he
just becomes so obsessed with these things and he learns so much. I mean, I suppose if you're learning that much about something every time that you are absorbing yourself in some sort of role and profession in these movies,
you basically have on-the-job training.
Yeah, and you become so fascinated, I'm sure. And this is where it's coming from, because his last movie, the one that he wanted to go out on top with, is this Paul Thomas Anderson movie, which is about the world of high fashion. And they say he did just such intense research, learned so much about couture fashion, that he basically wants to stick with the profession off scene and become a dressmaker.
Weird. It is. It's cool. It's super cool.
I know. It's amazing. It is the last thing I would ever have guessed Daniel Day-Lewis was going to leave movies for.
I know. I mean, so in this movie, he's in London. It's like the 1950s, and he's commissioned to design for members of high society and royalty.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming that that's what he's looking into, not going back in time, like I said, and like doing like frocks.
Yes.
For, you know.
Yeah. It sounds like he wants to work in couture.
For prairie women.
Yeah. He's not designing ripped jeans for us. Or
no,
jorts.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't think so. I think he's going to be designing runway stuff like couture.
I wonder how other fashion designers feel about this.
Well, I think with Daniel Day-Lewis, I think that they'd be more accepting than, say, with Kanye West. Because I don't think they were that accepting of Kanye West in the beginning.
Sure.
Because I don't think Daniel Day-Lewis would come into it with a very overly confident attitude. I think he would come in it with the right attitude, being, I'm really, really interested in this.
Right. Probably working as an apprentice with somebody.
Maybe.
But, I mean, you'd almost have to, although he's probably got 3 years under his belt already.
I know. I was going to say, I think he might be very experienced. I want to see Daniel Day-Lewis on Project Runway. That's where I want to see him.
I do too.
Let's see what Tim Gunn has to say about old Lincoln.
That's who he needs to go work with.
That'd be amazing.
Wow.
They should do a project, I almost said Project Down and Dirty. Project Runway with celebrities who design their own things.
Like, I love that idea.
I know. That said, I mean, I think Daniel Day-Lewis, it seems like maybe he actually could make things. I don't think a lot of them could actually make the stuff. I think they're more the visionaries behind
them. Right. They're designing rather than actually sewing.
Yeah.
We should get a Sewing with the Stars.
That's a great idea.
That's a really good idea, Mar.
Yeah, Jessica Simpson, Daniel Day-Lewis.
You need to pitch this.
All right, we're writing it down.
We need to pitch this,
although
now everybody knows.
I like your title. That's a working title, Sewing with the Stars.
I have to say, I'm really sad.
Why?
I don't want him to leave.
I know, that's what Dawn said too. Dawn said he's my favorite actor.
He is. Mine too. He's like the best actor of our generation. I mean, this guy, can you think of anybody who can... If there were who can hold their own with him, like just really be.
I can. I absolutely can. Leonardo DiCaprio, Heath Ledger, who
he's
has
good.
Passed away.
And Leo, but, of course.
I mean, Elizabeth
in
Moss.
Gangs of New York with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale. I think there are plenty of actors out there that are just as talented as he is. Viggo Mortensen, Captain Fantastic, Flawless. Yeah, there are plenty of actors out there, which actually also brings up the fact that I was watching a bunch of interviews with Elizabeth Moss yesterday. I don't know why. I just became very curious. And she is, of course, who plays Offred, the main character in A Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. And I actually thought it was pretty interesting how I watched her on Chelsea and on Stephen Colbert and on Seth Meyers, mm-hmm. and talking about method acting and whether she was method acting during this. And she's like, no, absolutely not.
Right.
She goes, I mean, in the show, obviously you're doing your job, but she goes, otherwise I'm just bubbly. I'm happy. She goes, I was so obsessed with the Cubs while I was filming this because it was when they won the World Series.
Yeah.
She's a huge Cubs fan. They made her a bonnet. They made her a Handmaid's Tale bonnet that has a Cubs logo on the side. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to work that into the next season somehow. Yeah. I'm going to wear that, but it just won't catch it on camera. And then she was also saying, oh yeah, she goes, episode 10 of the first season, only thinking about Cubs.
That's hilarious.
I know, which is, she's the most incredible actress.
Well, she's a really good crier, Elizabeth Moss.
But even like her, I mean, yeah, the crying is incredible in and of itself.
It blows me away.
But even just her reactions, even just her mannerisms and her the emotion that she has in communicating with the other actors is so spectacular. It's so believable.
It is. It's funny that you bring that up because I was reading an interview with her talking about, you know, the scene and in case you didn't get this far, there is a scene. It's not going to spoil anything. But when she's going crazy in the car.
And Donna's talking about The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu.
Yeah. So she's in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And Mrs. What's-Her-Face Waterford is in the front.
Waterford.
And she was going, she has to really react to something that sets her off. And she's banging all over the car and everything. And she's like, I gave it my all in the first take and realized I had to. And she was all bruised and everything. And she said, I realized I had to do that like 6 more times.
Oh, wow.
Because they have to get close-ups. Then they have to get, reaction shots and things like that. So
yes,
she was
that's
like,
right.
So, yeah, she's a great actress.
You know who'd love a dress from Daniel Day-Lewis?
Me.
Mrs. Waterford.
Oh, she probably would, but she can't wear it.
She'd love a blue frock.
I'm with you. I'm picturing so getting back to Daniel Day-Lewis, who we just found out is...
He's going to become a dressmaker.
Yeah, he quit acting to become a dressmaker. I'm picturing headgear, like all kinds of weird...
I bet you it will be some sort of, I don't know why,
artistic.
I'm probably only thinking of this because of the movie Lincoln. I was going to say, I think it would be some sort of runway, but combined with like Victorian era.
Nah.
He does. He just seems like he wants the jobs of an earlier day.
I don't know, because he was doing the 50s. Okay, obviously that's earlier, but it's not.
In the movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it takes place in the 1950s.
Okay.
I'm picturing more like Chanel.
Really?
Like super high-end, classy, classic.
Okay. He was a cobbler. Now he's a dressmaker.
He's 16 years old.
I'm picturing like Little House on the Prairie.
I know. That's what I was initially picturing.
Throw me, spin me a nice calico, Daniel Day.
Get me a whiskey. I don't know. I'm so fascinated by
me
this.
Me too.
It'll be super interesting to see what he puts out there.
Watch he comes out with like a fitness brand for dicks. You know,
it's like Dick's the store, by the way.
Yeah. Not for men.
Right.
Although, no discrimination. I hope he makes clothes for men and women.
I do too.
Yeah.
Make us a kilt.
He comes out with a yoga line. Is that Lululemon?
That would be so funny.
Off. That's hilarious.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, my gosh. Great. Oh, by the way, his movie is coming out. He wanted to go out with a bang that doesn't have a title yet, but it'll be out right around Christmas.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
If not on Christmas.
All right.
There you go. But while we're speaking of fashion, what the hell is Celine Dion wearing?
We have to have a conversation with Celine.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about this coming up momentarily right here on My Talk 107.1. I need some good. Welcome back, Donna and Marley. You're listening to My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment.
Nice, Donna.
Thank you. I promise not to do that again. Mar, I want to know what you think of this Celine Dion outfit.
I think it's really, really awful, I have to say.
You do?
Yeah,
oh,
I
my
do.
Gosh. I'm so
I
relieved
know.
Because I thought for sure
you
that
thought
you...
I'd like it.
Yes, yes. And I would definitely say if you're going to call someone a frump, this would be the outfit they'd be wearing.
Donna's still mad about that.
I am.
This is not good. It's not good no matter how you slice it. And Celine Dion just stepped out. She was wearing, these are leather overalls. They're black, kind of patent leather overalls.
And
almost.
They're Givenchy.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
See, the thing is, I don't mind the overalls. I don't mind. She's also wearing a white button-down collared shirt underneath it, carrying a white bag and big black sunglasses, weird white shoes as well.
I love the shoes.
What are those shoes? I can't even...
They've got appliques all over them. They're almost like pearly. They almost look like boots with toes sticking out of them.
They look really weird. I can't see a photo from the side.
It looks like she's wrapped in ace bandages on her feet.
Yeah,
like she's
they
got
look
two
bad. That's what I thought. They look like they could be cute from the side, but I only have a photo straight on. You can check this out, by the way, at our website. We have this linked up at our show page at mytalk1071.com, so you can see more of what we're talking about. But Celine Dion, I if the overalls fit, I'd be more apt to like this because I'm pretty out there. I can go with a lot of stuff, but they're just so baggy. It's just not flattering at all.
Well, and I don't think wearing pleather is actually a good material for that particular outfit.
That's right. Faux leather overalls.
My favorite thing about this picture, which again you can check out at mytalk1071.com, is the fact that she's got a snack in her hand.
What does she have in her hand?
It looks like a cookie. All right, look closely.
All right.
Do you see it?
Yeah.
She's eating a cookie.
Huh, cool.
Yeah, terrible outfit, Celine. I am so sorry, but I love the bag. And the bag still has its tags on it.
Huh.
Does it?
Celine is out there in terms of her fashion. I don't think the bag
has tags.
She always
has been. You don't?
No, I think that's just the napkin for the snack.
No, Mar. Look by the handle.
Yeah, that's just the cute thing that accompanies the purse.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. That's what it looks like to me, though.
All right. Well, check that out on this Fashion Tuesday.
They're comparing her to a minion. Sometimes Celine totally nails it and sometimes she doesn't. And I have to say, I actually just really appreciate that because
take chances.
She takes risks. Yeah. Like, remember the outfit she wore recently, earlier this year.
Well, let me just tell you this right now. If you Google, what the hell is Celine Dion wearing?
Yeah.
A million photos of her will come up with her wearing outrageous stuff.
She wears some weird stuff.
You know what they call it? How they described it?
What?
Here they said, did they say bold? A daring look. Celine Dion sported a daring look in Paris.
She did. She really did.
She did. All right.
Hold on. I have to find. Oh yeah, it was at the Billboard of Awards.
Yo, you like that big? It was almost like she was a Disney queen.
Yes,
it that was cool.
White gown fitted from the body down, and then with huge white poofy shoulders,
enormous
that looked like a cloud. I did a whole post on it on our website because I loved it so much. It was so great. It's beautiful.
It was large.
It was large and in charge, and I was a big fan.
I love how much you love this stuff.
I also love, because part of it was that I think there were some memes that came out, too, where you couldn't see Celine's face.
Right.
Because her face was just covered by the clouds of her shoulders, and it's like, when you don't want to talk to anybody.
The puffy shoulders were like three times the size of her head each side.
Amazing.
So, she needs to get Daniel Day-Lewis on that. Making her a dress.
Yeah, she does. And actually just really bringing it full circle, because we were just talking about Daniel Day-Lewis. He wants to quit acting and become a dressmaker. We mentioned Elizabeth Moss, too. And one thing that she was actually saying, you know, how she, so you couldn't see Celine with those sleeves. She was saying as well that the bonnets made it actually really hard to film in The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, yeah, because they're almost like blinders.
Yeah, yeah.
On the sides.
She was saying, it posed a really interesting sort of cinematic challenge that you have to work around, because you can't film someone in the same way that you normally would in a movie just from the side, because you can't see their face.
Yeah, their profile is totally covered.
Yes.
Interesting. All right, well, we're talking fashion. Actress Rebel Wilson is going to be launching a line, a clothing line for plus-sized women.
Yeah.
And she's super excited about that. We don't have a whole lot of information on it, but what we do know is that the fashion line is called Rebel Wilson X Angels, it's just the letter X, like a small X. And it's going to be for sizes 14 to 24.
I think that's great.
I think it's great, too. She said that more is to come. There's not a whole lot out, but they're going to be in department stores this summer, and they'll be available at places like Lord & Taylor, Dillard's, Nordstrom. So that's kind of cool. She's got good things happening for her now. She just won that defamation case.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I think the, you know, kind of providing clothes for maybe women that are bigger sizes, in the sense that a lot of those women have felt like they haven't had clothes that they really want to wear, and that they haven't found people that want to make the clothes for them.
Exactly.
Rebel Wilson, Melissa McCarthy, and they just basically say, well, then I'm going to do it. And I certainly don't think that market is saturated. So
I don't either. I think it's great.
It. Yeah, I think it's great.
I do, too. So Yay. That's exciting. Hey, want to let you know that it is Tuesday. So that means confessions are going to be coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. We do that right around 11:30.
Yes, we're going to take your calls on what's something you pretend to like. What's something you pretend to like? We're going to take your calls at 11:30. You can also email us right now. We'll save your emails and read them right around then.
Do you got one, Mar?
I do have one.
Okay, save it.
Okay, I see that you have one, and yours is a bit of a doozy. And yours is very unlike mine.
I know.
Intern Sarah, hopefully you can come up with one as well.
Something you pretend to like. For whatever reason. Okay. So think on that.
Yes.
I can't say exactly what it is, because I'm afraid that that person that it relates to might be listening.
Sure. We could do it. Actually, mine was a food item, but we could really spin this into the whole, you know, I mean, it's a person.
Absolutely.
Who's someone you pretend to like? My uncle. No, just kidding. I love all my uncles.
All my siblings. Okay, so that, again, 11:30. You can email the show by going to mytalk1071.com. Look on the Donna and Marley show page, and you'll see the thing there that says email the show.
Hashtags off.
Okay, when we come back, right, DeMario Jackson from Bachelor in Paradise is speaking out. We'll tell you what he had to say and what we think about it coming up next on My Talk 1071, Everything Entertainment.
My Talk 1071. Everything.
Sweep the leg.
Entertainment.
By your side. If I can't find your eye, I'll choose my love. No matter what you know, I'll choose my love. And if you say
take care of it, babe. Close your eyes, I'll sing your favorite song. I wrote you this lullaby. Hush now, baby, don't you cry. Anything you want could not
be. Hi, good morning, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to the Donna and Marley Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Well, DeMario Jackson is finally talking about events that took place on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, he's the guy that was involved in the sexual situation with Corinne Olympios that was then investigated and actually found there to have been no misconduct within ABC's internal investigation, though she is saying she's going to continue her investigation. So yes, now he sat down with E! News for a conversation.
Very emotional at one point.
Yeah, yeah. But he's really sticking to his story. And I think he's really believing what he's saying, in which case, you know, I mean, I think more power to him. If he really believes that, then and he's sitting down for interviews and continuing to kind of try and fix his own name.
Yeah.
If you will, then there's probably some credibility to that.
Yeah. I'm thinking he comes across as pretty credible. And he's said from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Look at the film.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And the fact that the film footage we probably won't ever see, but that they have that. This is all on film. And so you would think that they're able to make the right call.
Right.
Because they literally have exactly what happened on video and they can watch it.
Absolutely.
But with, you know, Corinne being a controversial character from the previous season and then DeMario being a controversial character, given we didn't get to know him very well on Rachel's season, he got dismissed pretty quickly.
Yeah, for having a girlfriend.
Exactly. He had a girlfriend, and it's not even what he did that is, I think, was the problem exactly. It's how he reacted, which was kind of lying and not taking responsibility. So that wouldn't have played well for him. But I have to say, it seems like everything he's doing right now is really, he really believes his side of the story.
Yeah. So he spoke with E! News about what happened while they were filming the show. He does, like I said, get emotional at one point, describing how it hurt his mother, especially to hear the stories about him in the news.
Stressful. For me, mostly for my mother. It's hard to see your mom like cry every single day. It was very difficult. My grandmother and my aunts. You know, my dad, he kept me extremely strong and kept me grounded and humble. But having your mom cry every day, like for something that you know you didn't do.
Yeah, I get it. I think he really wants to fix his reputation. There's like 1% of DeMario that's still just a little bit, just not sure about it.
Sure. I mean, well,
15 minutes of fame kind of thing, but
right. And
yeah.
And also, if you're looking back on his kind of fibbing about the girlfriend, mm-hmm. that kind of doesn't help his case.
Exactly. Because it's the same kind of when that girlfriend came on the show and Rachel confronted him and said, DeMario, look, what's going on here? DeMario was kind of like, I don't know. I don't know who that is. I don't know. And Rachel
kinda
was like
backed
okay.
into a corner.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. All he needed to say was like, look, I messed up. I probably should have ended this relationship with this girl in a better way. I didn't really. We did have something, but I am here for the right reasons.
Right.
Rachel said in the next episode that it would have been okay for him to stay at that point had he just copped to his mistake, but he didn't.
Right.
But
right.
Who knows? Maybe he learned from that. Maybe that's also, I don't know, maybe he's changed even from then till now.
Absolutely. Okay, so also he gets into a little bit of what happened with Corinne.
Like your first conversation?
Yeah, so our first real conversation was at the bar, and you know, we were hanging out and we kind of were just complimenting each other on being like villains. You know, I was like, look, like I've accepted this role. We were just kind of laughing. We're like, oh, we're about to like dominate paradise, like homie stuff, like really, really like friends. And then, you know, we started having a little bit more fun, you know, and you know, had a few drinks from that bar scene. You know, it got a little hot and heavy. She hopped in my arms, you know, we started making out at the bar. I'm down for it. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any single man, you know, some married ones wouldn't turn down Corinne. You know, she's a beautiful woman.
Did she seem drunk at that point?
No, that's the thing, is that we had all just got going.
Then what happened?
She's like, let's go to the pool. Like, you know, let's go hang out. It's crazy because when you're a man, mostly an African-American man, no matter where you're at, you always look for things that can help you out. And at that moment, I made sure that the cameras followed us. It just seemed too perfect in a sense for me. And at that point, that's when my spidey senses got up.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But, you know, that actually sounds like something I would do.
What?
You know, it's just insurance. You know, go and make sure the cameras are with us, because you don't want to be accused of anything, you know, and, you know, never walked in his shoes. So I can imagine, like he said, being an African-American man in this country is sometimes, you know, it's difficult. You're always thinking, am I going to get pulled over for doing nothing? I mean, you've seen it before, and he's probably just trying to be careful.
Well, the other thing that is weird too at this point is that DeMario has been saying since the beginning that the producers came to him and told him, hey, you're going to have a storyline with Corinne.
Right.
And because you guys are both villains, we want you to vibe off each other, basically. And then Corinne is saying that that never happened and that she wasn't told about that. But the way that she was behaving at the show really makes it seem like she was, which again adds another layer of why she would be protecting herself, or at least lying, because she has the motive to protect the fact that she had a boyfriend, which again, there's bigger problems there, because why would you go on the show if you have a boyfriend? But again, I mean, the story is that she told her boyfriend she was going to go on the show just because they wanted her on the show, and not that she wanted to hook up with anyone or anything. Well, then she does.
Right. And then, of course, he's going to get wind of that, obviously.
Yeah.
And she's got to protect herself that.
But it would look worse for her if she had known that that was a storyline.
Right.
In the first place. And I think she probably did. I think she probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also said that she, there is more to the interview. It's a 3-part interview that E! News is going to be airing.
Yeah, I think it's airing. It aired the first part last night and the second part tonight.
Yeah, 7 o'clock.
Which goes along with the 2-part Bachelorette that is airing this week as well. Aired last night and then the second part tonight, which we'll get to tomorrow. I had something going on last night, so couldn't watch it, but we're going to get to that tomorrow.
Definitely. In the meantime, though, her people, Corinne's legal team, is saying that the things were not shut down. The show wasn't shut down due to any complaint filed by Corinne against anyone. And then they say, you know, it comes as no surprise that Warner Brothers did their own internal investigation. Of course, they would state that no wrongdoing had occurred.
Yeah, I don't think so, Corinne. I'm sorry.
And that their own investigation will continue based on new witnesses coming forward, revealing what they saw, revealing what they heard.
We haven't heard anything about that
at this point.
In the beginning, of course, this is a really serious situation, and I want to take anyone seriously that says that something like this has happened to them, but Corinne has always been an unreliable character. And then as soon as some of this stuff is seemingly proven in one way, well, it just looks more and more like she has a motive to want to say that she didn't, or to not take responsibility for the hookup with DeMario.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also was it the last season where she was in the pool with the guy and went to put his hands on her boobs and, you know.
Yeah. Well, and she was drunk there and she likes to drink. But again, it's like, you know, I mean, if you're out there and you're drinking, then that's your prerogative to some extent. Yeah. I mean, you reach a level where consent is really important and you shouldn't be drinking, you know, or have your behavior monitored after a certain point. But she's in and of herself, she likes a cocktail. We've known that the entire time she's been on these shows.
Sure.
And but she's a controversial character.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so, and neither one of them are back on this show.
Not at this point. Not right. that we know of, no. But okay. the show is still filming, and I am excited for it. It's going to come back in the summer. It is the best one of the whole franchise.
Do you really, you like, this is your favorite of all of them?
I love Bachelor in Paradise. Oh, it is my favorite of all of them. It's so much fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. We'll see what happens with that. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about Nick Lachey and what a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy. Have you ever lost and or found a wedding ring?
Yes.
As in yours? Someone else's.
Have you lost and found your wedding ring, or have you just lost your wedding ring? Give us a call, 651-641-1071.
We'll get to that coming up next. Been scared of love and what it did to you. You don't have to run. I know what you've been through. Just a simple touch and it can set you free. We don't have to rush when you're alone with me. Not the single type, so maybe this the perfect time. I'm just trying to get you high, fade it up this touch. You don't need a lonely night. So hey, good morning and welcome back. Thanks for listening. Donna and Marley on My Talk 1071, Everything Entertainment, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Have you lost a wedding ring?
Give us a call.
Like your own?
651-641-1071. I know that in my family, there's a famous story of one of my aunts or uncles was at a beach out east, lost a wedding ring. Literally, I think my aunt lost it. My uncle went to that same beach a year later and found it. Kicked
what?
It in the sand. Found it. Yes. And I feel like I hear those amazing stories about wedding rings all the time. And we've got another one here for you. So call us if you have lost your wedding ring, lost and found your wedding ring, 651-641-1071.
Amazing.
Yeah. Let's kick it off with Charlene and then we'll let you know the story about a celeb that we have for you. Hey, Charlene, what's your story about a wedding ring?
Well, I hope this fits into the category because I lost my husband just about a year ago.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, we're sorry.
Yeah. And in October, a friend invited me over for dinner, and she thought it'd be fun to clean pumpkins, which, of course, I didn't. So I took my rings off. I wear his band and my 25th anniversary in my rings. So I put them in my wallet. The next morning, I got up to put them on, and my 25th wedding anniversary ring was not there.
Oh, no.
I searched. I panicked. I cried. And I went over to that lady was gone. I went over to her husband and I said, I lost a ring. He said, oh, I found a ring and picked up my anniversary ring. It must have fallen out of my wallet. And there was my 25th anniversary ring from my husband. So
oh.
I said and found it and it could never be replaced. So thank you for asking.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh, Charlene.
I'm so happy you found it.
Oh, we love you.
I know, because how would you ever replace that?
Yeah.
So thanks for asking.
Oh, that's so
sharing.
Sweet. Thank you so much for the call. My goodness.
Oh, that would be devastating.
Jeez. Yeah, well, we're really glad that you found it, Charlene. All right, let's go to Erica. Hey, Erica, what's your story about a wedding ring?
Good morning. So my husband is in the National Guard, and about 10 years ago, we were celebrating or getting together because he was getting deployed. We were out in Minnetonka at Big Island, and he and his brother were kind of farting around wrestling, and they looked down, and both of their wedding rings had fallen off. So you know how fine sand is around Big Island.
Yeah.
It's just, so we looked, and I was so upset because my husband was being deployed. I'm like, you can't go away with, you know, this is just bad luck. And we ended up finding both wedding rings.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did. We found both of them.
Oh, my gosh.
We had goggles. We were looking. We had other people looking. And, yeah, they were in the water, buried in the sand.
Oh, my gosh.
They ended up finding both of them.
What are the chances? That's
I know. And for both of them to be found, it was, yeah, it was incredible.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for sharing that story. It's so funny. I know a couple of guys, actually.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, you know, more men would be like, yeah, I lost mine. I know someone who lost their wedding band and tried to replace it on the down low before their wife would ever find out.
Oh, my gosh.
And I believe in doing that, in ordering a new ring, the old ring was found. So now he ended up with two wedding rings. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, two's better than none.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice try. Again, we're taking calls on whether you have lost and found your wedding ring. 651-641-1071. Call us if you have a story. And the reason we bring this up is because Nick Lachey, actually, his wife, Vanessa, just lost her wedding ring. And Nick ended up digging through the trash to find it. So a lot of times you might know exactly where it is. You have to unhook the faucet. You have to go out searching around in the yard if your dog ate it. He posted a picture of the ring among some garbage that included dirty diapers. And he said, "This is true love after 6 years of marriage. Digging through dirty diapers and trash to find your wife's missing wedding ring.
Aww.
Hashtag success."
Cool.
I know.
This is like a classic I Love Lucy episode.
Yeah. Well, this happened. I mean, yeah, you see this in movies all the time, I feel like, where they just drop it down the drain.
Exactly.
And it's like,
you got to
no!
take it apart.
Yeah.
And like, don't turn the water on.
Yeah. Lost and found wedding ring. 651-641-1071. Okay. We've got
Wendy
here. Wendy on the line. Hey, Wendy, what's your story?
Good morning. Well, mine is a story about my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was a fabulous Italian cook, and she would make pizzas in bulk, where she would spend the whole day just baking pizzas, and she would knead her own dough. Anyway, she made like 25 pizzas, and she would take them around to the neighborhood and give them to all the neighbors. Well, she lost her wedding ring, couldn't find it. One of the neighbors came back. He had bitten into his pizza, and there was her wedding ring.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the stories, too. Like, the opposite would be you're proposing.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Or a girl bites into it and sees a wedding ring and thinks it's for her.
It's in a cupcake.
Oh,
all right. Connie's been holding on. Hey, Connie, what's your story of a lost and found wedding ring?
Oh, hey, yeah, I actually have two of them. I lost my wedding ring. I have arthritis, and so I have clasps, so my rings open up to get over my knuckles. And the clasp came undone, unbeknownst to me, last November, and fell off my hand. And I didn't notice it until, like, 2 days later. And it was lost for 5 months over the winter. And just a few weeks ago, I got a call from a girlfriend of mine. I was at their house at a painting class, and she found a wedding ring at the end of her driveway on the grass, and 5 months after the fact.
Oh, holy smokes.
Yeah, and then so my husband, we thought we had lost his wedding ring. This was years ago. And so I went out and bought him a new wedding ring, and then I found it in a container that I had full of, like, old jewelry, and it's like, so he's got two wedding rings.
He's got
now.
A spare now, just
yeah.
in case.
He's got a spare, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, good stories.
Thank you for that.
It's almost like there are other powers at work here where
I know.
It's so important that it's got to get back to its owner.
Absolutely.
All right, we've got Eddie on the line. Hey, Eddie, what's your story about a lost and found wedding ring?
Yeah, my mother misplaced her wedding ring. And she was devastated by it. I'll never forget it. You know, searching the house frantically for days, looking for it. She was extraordinarily upset, as one would be. Maybe about 17 or 20 years later, she was cleaning out the bathroom cabinet, and it was sitting under a hand towel the entire
what?
20 years. And,
what?
The bottom hand towel in a pile.
Oh, no. And she never made it to that one towel until 20 years later.
Yeah, who would have ever thought it would have, you know, snuck under there in some way, however it got there. But
irony
is that she was very, very happy, of course.
Yeah.
But the level of happiness she had to me was not as high as how I just remember her for that week
sure.
or two. She was just devastated by it. But it was fun to come home and hear about the story. So
yeah.
Wow. That's so funny because, you know, you have a pile of towels in your closet. And every time you take from the top, then you wash them, you put them back on top, and you never get to that bottom towel. And it took her 20 years to that bottom towel.
And the fact that you just never have moved any of those, you know, those towels,
right.
like even just in a different place or moving houses or anything.
Or, you know,
incredible.
You're like, I need to get rid of some of this stuff.
Yeah, or like, I'll get some new colors or something. Yeah, wow.
Oh,
that's
my
incredible.
Gosh. That really is.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, so much for the calls. We weren't able to get to everyone, but if you want to shoot us an email, we're always available at our website at mytalk1071.com. Just go to our show page, Donna and Marley, email the show, or we're on Twitter as well. I'm on Twitter at Marley Bigelow.
I'm at Valentine Donna.
And
send us an old note. When we come back, oh boy, somebody's a little entitled. Kelly Osbourne pees her pants and blames it on Starbucks. We'll tell you why coming up next on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment.
My Talk 107.1, Everything.
You had me at hello.
Entertainment.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.